Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Network. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show today. Very excited about our topic. We are going to be having a great conversation about career transitions. And the big question of the day is, should I stay or should I go? This is Susan Gonzalez, and I'm your host for today. And I am considered the go-to coach for people who are looking to create success in their life and have more success in their life. And I help my clients win at work and succeed at life. And by helping them get clear on what they want and getting out of their way sometimes so they can actually create and break through to the success and things that they want to accomplish in life. I am a professional coach and have been one for the past 12 years. I am also a public speaker and an author. I just published my first book called Make It Your Mark, 7 Steps to Maximize Your Impact. And you can find out more about what I do and some of the free resources I offer on my website, www.makeityourmark.com. And you can also reach out to me directly and contact me at my email, which is susan@makeityourmark.com. So let's get on to the show. And I see that I have a couple of callers already waiting. This is very exciting. And let me just set the stage a little bit about what we're going to be talking about. At some point or other in our lives, all of us have gone through this questioning of, is this the right career for me? Is this what I want to be doing for the rest of my life? What would happen if I changed my career? Or how should I retire early? Should I wait? Is the timing right? And what does it all mean? And what am I really looking for? And I think one of the things to keep in mind with this is that just like a marriage, jobs are sort of like that, and that career path that we take. So they have their peaks and their valleys, and I think most of us can just accept part of that is there's going to be some job dissatisfaction sometimes. It's natural, just like there's with any part in your life. And if you didn't have some of that rub and dissatisfaction, you might not actually make the kind of changes and things that you're really looking to do. But for the most part, we understand that that's part of the territory and we can handle it. But I think that also a lot of my clients, and I hear this quite often, is that, they just don't think it's reasonable to expect to love every single aspect of your job every day, just like you wouldn't in anything. So that's an understood. But sometimes there do come those points where they're just questioning, am I in the right spot still? And it's a great place of opportunity for people to come. And then on the other hand is that there comes that point in that transition in your journey where you're not so much thinking about the career as much. You're thinking about the career of living and the career of what you want your next phase in life to be. And there's so many questions and so much planning that goes into thinking about what you want to do for retirement and setting up your retirement and having all of that set. So those are some of the topics that we're going to cover today. And I'm just going to throw this out for our listeners to see. Let me know if any of this resonates with you or as you're listening to these questions. See if you've thought these things before. Because sometimes when we're looking at whether I should stay or go with the career I currently have, it seems like there's a lot more questions than we have answers for. So maybe this is your scenario. Maybe you've been at your job for a while. It's not bad, but it's not great. And you're just wondering, so what do I do now? Or maybe you've loved your job for years, but there's been a change. Maybe you have new management, or maybe there's been a reorganization in your life. And you're not loving the job anymore. And it's making you think you need to consider, do you really want to stay where you are? But you're not really sure, so where do I start? Where do I go from there? Maybe you're thinking, you know, is this what I want to do for a living? I know I was a fool for this, trained for it, had all my education, put all this effort into it, but oh my gosh, I am so not happy at this job. Wow, should I switch careers and find something else? That was a lot of hard work that I put into this, but the quality of my life is blah. Maybe you're just ready for something new, or it feels like, I feel like I'm not going to get to move up anymore in the position I'm at. My boss really likes me where I'm at, but I want to move forward, but I don't necessarily want to rock the boat. So how do I do that? Or for whatever reason, things happen in your company, and sometimes you have those forced circumstances upon you, and it could just be that you no longer have that job, and your circumstances have really changed. So where do you begin now? Because it feels like you have to start from scratch. This one is one that's really common. I have experienced this one myself, too. Something's just off, but you're not even sure what the problem is. But without a doubt, you know you're not happy. Right now, I'm not happy. So how do you figure out what the problem is, and then how do you fix it? And this topic, this one for me, there is a book called Fish. And it's based on the fish philosophy, and I think many of you might have heard of it. And if you haven't, it's a really short read, but it's so powerful. And it's co-authored by a man named Stephen London. And Stephen did a study of different workplaces and what makes people happy at work. And one of the things that he pointed out with work life and feeling dissatisfied at it is you spend so much of your life at work. And if you chunk out your life and break it into pie pieces, about 7/8 of your pie is work. If you're dissatisfied at work, then the connection is that dissatisfaction can play into how satisfied you are with your life. And if you want to have a nice long career and a nice long life, then let's turn around and take a look at some things so that we aren't stuck in dissatisfaction anymore, but instead we're making the most of it and adding satisfaction in so that our career life and our home life have a nice balance. And when we hit those career intersections, we have the answers that we're looking to seek. So with that being said, I'm going to open up the lines, and I'm going to reach out to caller whose number ends in 8272. Welcome to the call.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to the call.
So I was just thinking about what you were saying, and I have kind of a similar situation at work right now where I've worked at a job for 8 years, and I really, at one point I feel like I really did love working there, and I loved the job and the people and the, you know, the environment, but there's been a lot of changes over the last couple of years, a lot of corporate changes and then change in management, and just some of the things that they're implementing now just don't really, I don't feel like they fall in line with the philosophy and the mission that the company had before, and it's just, and then it's not aligning with my own personal philosophy and my goals, and I'm starting to feel like it's not really the place for me anymore. And it's hard because I'm in a situation where I'm single income family, and I have 3 kids at home, and so I feel like I'm kind of stuck, and I don't know if I'm ready to make a jump to a new career or just kind of deal with what I'm going through and see where it takes me.
Wow, thanks for sharing that. And, you know, I just want to start out by saying that congratulations on your 3 children and actually for taking this opportunity now to talk to us about this. Yeah, that feeling of being stuck can put a damper on things in a big way. And that realization that you've had that at this point now, you loved your job before, but at this point now, you're not aligned. And you're wondering and feeling like this isn't the place for you anymore. But what do you do, and how do you figure out where to go from here? Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay, great. Tell me a couple of things, because I'm really curious about this. What do you need from your work that will make you feel like you're having the contribution that you want to make?
Well, I feel like one of the things that's changed is before they made the change to the organizational structure and they brought in a senior management level above us, we basically, I had a lot more responsibilities, and I was kind of the face of our department. I would represent us in meetings with stakeholders, and people came to me when they had questions about things, and I was involved in everything. And now, since the change, I feel like I'm not as involved. People don't come to me for things anymore. I feel like I'm kind of out of the loop, and I'm just kind of reduced to my level, where before I felt like I was bigger than what my position was. And I think that part of it is kind of frustrating, because I felt like I had a bigger part in the company, and now I don't.
Yeah, it's interesting that you said this reduced to your level, and that before you felt like you had a bigger role in the company beyond the job description. And the feeling that you got from that was that you were valued and respected. And it also, I'm hearing inherent in there is opportunity for growth and leadership development.
Right. I felt like by representing the company in a bigger role than what my actual position was, that I was kind of already walking into that opportunity of, you know, moving up into a bigger position. And now I feel like I'm being held back, and just being told to, you know, stay put.
And so feeling like you're being squeezed and kept small.
Right, exactly.
Is that accurate? Yeah.
Yeah, and then what's even more frustrating with that part of it is when, you know, I don't get invited to things and I'm not in the loop, so to speak, and then it seems like they still come back to me at the, you know, in the end to either fix something or give my input on something that was done without my initial input. And then, so it's like, it's almost like people know that they can still come to me, but they're not coming to me for, you know, up front. It's kind of after the fact.
Yeah. A little frustrating there, and the fact that clearly you want to be someone who makes a bigger contribution. The sense that I'm getting from you is you're give it your all. So you'll go beyond the job description. You'll go beyond the role to do what's right for the company. And I'm also hearing in what you're saying and sharing back a sense of pride in the contribution that you're making, then, that you are helping move the organization forward. How important is that to you when you're thinking about your role in the company? How important, say it's a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is the highest, 1 is the lowest, how important is it for you to feel like the things that you do move your organization forward?
I mean, I don't know if it's a 10, but it's pretty high up there. And I think that it's not just a matter of that I felt like I was doing those things or that I would put that effort and do that. I liked it. I liked being kind of the go-to guy and being the one that was thrown out there in front of people to speak for the company, and I liked that. So now I'm not getting that satisfaction out of my job either.
Ah, very interesting. So you like the limelight, so to speak. You like being the go-to guy. What is it about being the go-to guy that you find, you know, fulfilling?
I think it's that I felt a certain sense of pride, you know, knowing that people depended on me to represent them and be that person for them. I also feel like it was I got a sense of accomplishment out of it, because I feel like even though maybe I wasn't as high a level as some of the other people that were in that position, but I was, I had the skill set and the knowledge and, you know, the tools and whatever else I needed, that, and people felt so confident in that that they put me in there. So I felt that sense of accomplishment. I felt I took pride in that, and I like knowing that people can depend on me.
Wow, doesn't everybody want to have a worker, someone in your organization that wants people to feel like they can depend on them and actually will show up so that they can depend on them? I think that's just awesome that, that that's where you were coming from and part of the contribution that you want to make. You know, it's interesting in some of the things that you just shared, there's this concept of people don't follow the title. People follow the leader. And then there's certain leadership skills that some people just have, they're innate within them. And in their normal way of doing business, the leadership just comes out. And when you were talking about that they relied on you and they could depend on you, and the pride that you had by going out there, that they saw the talent, they saw the potential, they saw the skill set in you and gave you the opportunity to let it shine and gave you the autonomy with it as well, which is go do your thing. How much that impacted you, and that part of your leadership tying into moving the company or moving your organization forward, sounds like that's where fulfillment comes for you, because there's something in that, because it's you, the person doing it. It's not something that someone else has. It's like you have yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. And I think also on some of it, it's not so much that, it's not even just that people were putting me in that position. It was more like I was forcing them to put me in that position, because I was going out and taking it. And I was taking charge of the situation, taking charge of meetings, to the point that it's like I made it known that I was the guy that should be representing us. And it's almost like people kind of just went with it, too, because they saw that. And then for whatever reason, this new manager, we're not getting that same vibe, and they don't seem to see me the same way that everyone else saw me at one point. And I feel like they are kind of – I've tried different methods to, you know – keep that role that I had, and nothing that I'm trying seems to be working. And it's almost to the point now where I feel like they are going out of their way to keep that from happening. Like they want to do it this other way. And so that's a frustrating part for me.
So clearly one thing that needs to be in a career for you is the ability to use your leadership skills, the ability to be the go-to guy for certain things and have things that are going to challenge and stretch you, because part of being thrown out there and it's putting yourself to the test and sort of testing your mettle and going for it. And it sounds like that's what you were doing in this. And not to be minimized at all is the fact that when that's something that gives you so much fulfillment, And you tied a lot of satisfaction to it when you don't have it and it feels like it's intentional that you're being kept in your place, so to speak, or reduced to your level. Who determined who your level is? So no wonder it feels frustrating because you know that your level is a higher level. Clearly, you're going to go beyond the role. And so if someone's reducing you to a role or reducing you to a job description, it would make total sense that you would probably feel frustrated, probably got some anger in there, and certainly not leaving the day feeling really good about what you contributed or good about the future. There are some things that you could do, though, right now to kind of help you decide and make sense of where you want to go from here. And so I do want to give you a couple of ideas and things on this before I move on to the next caller. So let's try out a couple of things and see if any of these might work for you. Would that be okay?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So one of the first things to do is when you're trying to figure out where you want to go in a career is to actually step back and decide, what are the most important things for me? What are the most important things for me right now? And then what are the most important things for me in the future? And you can do this in several different areas. But I'm going to go with this one first. If you think about that every person has something that they're super good at, like a superpower. And a superpower doesn't have to be some grandiose thing, but it's something that comes easy to you. You love doing it, and that's the important thing. And other people just think, God, that's just so easy. And you do it, you don't even think about it. It's that, it just comes naturally to you. What do you think some of your superpowers are?
I think one of my superpowers is being able to kind of, I guess, mediate when we're in a group setting and the different parties are, it's like they're all saying the same thing, but none of them realize it and they're all arguing. And I tend to be that voice of reason, and I'm able to pull in, you know, translate it between the different parties so that everybody understands, oh, yeah, this, we do agree.
Yeah, I would guess that's a great superpower because there is that part in there where, you know, every organization needs it. And quite frankly, sometimes our personal lives, too, need to have that person that's able to see all the sides and bring people to a point of, if not consensus, at least acceptance and agreement on a place to move forward from. That's sort of an invaluable thing that happens. And you're right, not everybody has that, and it can be a tough one. Can you think of another one really quickly besides mediation?
Another one, I guess, would be just general optimism. I try to keep things positive and look for solutions instead of problems, and I try to move things in the positive direction instead of dwelling on the negative aspects of things, and I think that's a good superpower.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, listen, you're way ahead of the game with already having that in place. So the reason why I asked that, what you thought your superpowers were, is you can go in and tap into those right now to help you as you're reflecting on what you want your next phase to be. And so the second thing that you do is you look at what your superpowers are and how you can tap into those. And for two reasons. One, to help you come up with the plan if you decide to leave, to help you plan out where you want to go and a transition plan on your terms so that you don't burn any bridges, so to speak, but you actually are taking care of yourself as well. And then the secondary piece to that is, and how can you tap into those superpowers while you stay at a job that's not fulfilling you anymore? And since you already have that solution-focused general optimism piece, that's a really great one to tap into to help you still see the positives, because not everything is bad usually. But if it's not the right fit anymore, it's just not the right fit. So, and why keep trying to force yourself into a mold that's not that's squeezing and chasing and keeping you small? Apparently, you know, you have dreams and ambitions, so you want to go for it. The second thing that you can start doing is actually getting really clear on, and this one can be a little hard at first, so give yourself the time to do this, but actually get really clear on what kind of position do you really want to have? You know, what's the true contribution you want to make at work? And don't think so much about where can you find that position yet. Think about you at 100% optimized, maximizing your impact, maximizing your talent. What kind of things do you want to make sure are present and you have the ability to contribute to in your next position that you get? That ties back into your purpose. So what do you think, you know, what is the purposeful intention you want to put behind things? What is the, why do you feel like, you know, you want to make the kind of contribution you're doing? So try to get very clear on that, because once you start brainstorming and listing all the things you want, you'll start to get a really clear idea of, these are my top priorities tied to my values, tied to the purpose of contribution that I want to make in the world. And once you've connected to that, that can help drive you into the solution, since you already have that as a superpower, can drive you into, okay, now let me set up my plan to go find the position that's going to give me that. How does that sound to you?
That sounds great, and it's kind of funny that you say that, because it falls right in line with exactly what I've been dealing with lately, where I've kind of, you know, been at that point where I'm starting to think that I need to look for something. And so as I start to think about what would I want to do, or where should I apply, what kind of job should I apply for, that's kind of where I've been stuck, because I'm like, I don't know what position I want to, what type of position I want to do that's going to fulfill that that purpose. So that's great advice that you gave. That now I can take that and figure out what is my purpose, so that I know what kind of positions to go for.
Great, great. Well, I wish you all the best with that. One other thing, and just that just came to me as you were talking. Oh, you're welcome. One other thing that came up to me as you were talking is, sometimes when we go out and we look at different positions and things, we do focus on the job description, and we try to match that as closely as we can. I'd like to throw out, you know, looking at that from another perspective for you as well, because you do sound pretty creative, and there is this part of innate leadership, like I said before, people follow the leader, not the title. There's some things that have to do with title that, you know, people will, because they don't want to get fired or things like that, but they really follow the true leadership and talent. And sometimes it's making the role fit your description. So since you would already go over and above the job description, like you said, in the role you're in right now, maybe you want to focus also on looking at and making sure that you're going high enough in a position that's going to give you the kind of autonomy, creativity, and flexibility that you're looking for to stretch your muscles and grow and put those superpowers in place. So just as you're thinking about that part, try not to reduce yourself to a certain level as well. Because if you're already going to work over and above, then go for over and above in your search as well. And again, I hope that helps you, and I wish you the best of luck. And I know that you're going to come up with the solution, since you're already a solution-focused person, to help you make the career transition that you want to make. And good luck with your three kids. Kudos to you on that.
Thank you.
Okay. So I just want to briefly stop for 1 second and just do a little plug again for our sponsor, audible.com. And as Russ Terry was sharing at the beginning of our call, make sure that you take advantage of that free trial offer when you get a free audiobook when you sign up for the 30-day free trial. And it's audibletrial.com/life Coach Radio Network. And there's some great choices out there already for many different topics. So when you get a chance, make sure you go to audibletrial.com/Life Coach Radio Network and take advantage of that great offer. So now I'd like to switch over to our next caller. Thank you. You've been holding on this whole time. I really appreciate it. So this is caller whose number ends in 9043. Welcome to the call.
Hi. Nice to be speaking with you.
Hi.
Yeah, I was just
glad to have you on.
Hi. Thank you. I was really going to share just some of, I'm a recent retiree. I've been retired about a year. And I was going to share with you and your listeners just some of my, I'm going to say adventures and misadventures, things that I've learned and things that have happened, since I've been retired.
So, oh, that sounds wonderful because, that's one of the topics that's very important, and we talked about that. I'd love to hear a little bit about your journey and the path you took. And before you get started, some of the things that I've heard from some of my other clients, and I don't know if you have anything to add to this or not, but if not, we'll share it at the end, is, that decision to retire. For some people, it's so hard when they finally get to that point, is this the right time for me to go? And then the reasons behind that. So I'm all ears. Let's hear your journey.
Okay, so when I decided to retire, I mean, I've been thinking about it for a few years. I had a pretty, what I considered, high-powered, responsible job. I was living in New Jersey, and all of my family lived in Texas. But I was pretty happy at work. I loved everything I did. I got to travel. I had a great job. But the closer I got to 66, I started realizing that I needed to keep, really to do my job at optimal level. I needed to keep about 9 balls in the air at the same time, really to keep everything, to really do my job the way I felt I would take pride in doing it and benefit the company and my fellow employees. And I started noticing that closer I got to 66, maybe I was only keeping 5 or 6 of those balls in the air at the same time. So I started thinking about retiring because I was really basically happy at work, happy doing what I was doing. And then my grandson was getting older, and I didn't want to miss all of his life on a day-to-day basis. I traveled a lot down to Texas to see him and traveled to my family up to see me in New Jersey, and we spent a lot of time together. But it's not the same as having a day-to-day role, in your family and particularly your grandchildren's life. So I started just really putting those two things together and thinking about, well, maybe now is the right time. I'm 66. These things are coming together. I've been saving for years. I'll go ahead and plan to retire. So that's pretty much what I did. But in that other time, 2 or 3 years before that, I had been reading all sorts of articles on what it means to retire and how to stay busy and what you should do and how you should plan, not only financially, but, emotionally and to be busy and set up all these activities and know what you're going to do. And I thought I pretty much had all of that covered. So when I retired, I just skipped out of the office and drove down to Texas, hot diggity dog. My heart was full and happy, and I'm going to have this exciting life of a 9-year-old where you basically have no responsibilities, you have enough money to live, and you just have a pretty good time. And I had planned to take these lessons and these classes and all of that. So, and that's pretty much what I've done, and it's fulfilling and great and tons of fun as all of that is. As the months wore on in my retirement, I started noticing some very funny things about me. I had saved financially so I could retire and have enough to live on, and I put some money into, my yearly savings account money, so I wouldn't have to take any money or use interest off my investments that I might need for my really old age. And then I started finding that because I didn't have a paycheck coming in anymore, every time I took any money out of that account that I had planned in my planning that was going to be my money to use when I retired so I could have fun and do what I want, every time I took a dollar out, I felt compelled to try to find some way to make some money to put that dollar back in, or I wasn't happy. I was fearful in some way. I just didn't like my money to come out, and I wasn't used to not having a paycheck coming in and nothing to rely on. I'm having to really rely on my money. And I noticed that no amount of planning that I did in advance of thinking I had enough money and putting this into a savings account for my, you know, monthly use and use of extras prepared me for the mental and emotional not having a paycheck. So to me, it didn't matter how much money I had in that account. I didn't want to spend any of it. And if I didn't spend any of it, I wasn't doing the fun things that I wanted to do. And that went on. I mean, I've now been retired for a year. Just to be perfectly honest, I still struggle with that little demon. And so I think that's just something inert to my personality, but it might be true for others. That's why I'm sharing it, because it's like when you don't have a check coming in anymore, even though you had money saved just for that occasion, after you've worked for 56 years, it's hard to transition from using your paycheck to using your savings. It's just been a very a learning experience for me. I've had to really learn how to not panic over it, don't have to sit around toss and turn thinking I need to get a little job every time I take a dollar out. That's what it's there for. And I have other venues set up to replace it, and I can do things like that. So that was something I had to come to grips with on my, I'm going to say at my money side, but it was really mostly emotional for me. No amount of reading books and thinking about it prepared me that I might go through something like that. And just, I was surprised that I was fumbling with that and feeling that way. And it was really just tough. And then I take classes. There's a university here close. I'm doing all the things that when I was working, I said, when I retire, I can't wait. I'm going to take this drawing, this painting. I'm going to take Spanish. I'm going to take literature. I'm going to have time to devote to all these things I've always wanted to do and never really had time to do. And I'm doing all of those, and they're great fun. But I still find, and it's probably because it's still a little new and early, I'm just a year into it, that I feel, and I'm not going to say guilt, and it could be I was raised Catholic, so who knows, it could be guilt. It's just, I'm just saying, it's just I need to be doing something. Like, the greatest thing of all about being retired is your time is your own. And that's one thing that I love. I now can do things on my time clock and my schedule as opposed to everybody else's. And that is marvelous. It's one of the things that it is just great. But every now and then, I'll feel like I should be doing more. Doing just exactly what I want every day. I mean, I do things, a lot of things with my family, with my grandson, with my sisters, with my nieces and nephews, with my friends. I take the classes I want. I have time to paint. I'm just happy as a little pig in a poke about all those things. This little thing starts creeping in my mind that maybe I should be contributing more or doing more, or what a selfish person you are for just doing what you want all the time. It makes me start feeling a little odd, and that's the one I'm working through right now. So I'm trying different little things to see if that's really a true feeling, if it's just something with retirement that you adjust to over time, or if it's or if there's some other way I can satisfy that. And so that's what I've been trying. So far, the only thing I came up with, I've got to share this with you because interesting. So one of the things I always wanted to do is I always wanted to teach. I always thought I could make a difference and make a contribution. So I thought, well, I'll be a substitute teacher. I thought about teaching at college, but then that would take away my time. I'd have to do it on their time. But substitute, I could plan when I might want to do it. Because like I said, the most important thing to me now since I've been retired is it's on my time, and I just love that. So I took a little substitute teaching job, went out to make my big contribution, and realized that, I don't know, maybe contributing isn't for me anymore. Maybe I chose the wrong venue or whatever for it. But I felt fulfilled doing it. I felt I made a little bit of a difference. But I don't feel compelled to carry on doing it. So, I don't know. I'm just all over the place right now. So, I'll pause and let you have a little say in here.
Thank you so much for sharing your journey up to this point with us, because it gave us some rich information and things in there. And I'm imagining that there's quite a few people that are having the same experience, or as they're planning and anticipating it, this will help them in that path too. A couple of things that you said that I think are really key, and I just want to point them out again, is the first one is a bit of a culture shock that you had related to finance. And it's interesting when you were describing it, because you said, you know, every time I took that money out, I had this compulsion then to put it back in, because your whole career is saving money to retire on. And so I think people
exactly
that savings. You're not supposed to touch your savings. And now it's, but I'm supposed to use this money because that's what I saved up for myself right now. And, yeah, what a culture shock, and something that I would imagine everybody has to go through, because the whole point of it is that's why you have this money right now.
And you can't plan that's how you're going to feel until you can plan to have the money. But you have no idea you're going to feel that way until you're living it. And it was really like a, you're kidding me, right? I'm feeling this way. I was surprised that I was really feeling that way about it. It was like, doggone it, but it's a fact.
Well, it's that sort of intellectual, emotional balance in there, right? Intellectually,
yeah,
we get it. And then when we're actually doing it, it's the emotional piece and the other part of the perceptions that we have that, you know, there are some things that we have done it that way for so long. And it's like you said, it's a different, whole different mindset from saving for retirement and then living on your retired savings. And
yeah, not having a paycheck come in all the time, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I imagine, so I'm just going to say, you were, you said you were an executive, and so it sounds like you had a pretty active, high-powered position. And so to go from that to not having that kind of salary, I can imagine, and I think everybody else would too, it's got to be a bit of a shell shock. I liken it to the first time I used to be a teacher, and I went from business into education, and I can still remember getting my first paycheck as a teacher, and I went home crying. Because the reality of it was like, oh, my gosh, I knew what I was going to get paid intellectually, but it was the reality when I actually had the check in hand and saw
mm-hmm.
the number on there. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't so much about the money for me, but it was a bit of a shock and a gulper, because I was used to getting paid, you know, much more than that was. So, you said, go ahead.
I was going to say that, you know, when you retire, it's, you can plan and think about it and go through all of that, but once you've worked 56 years like I did and always working, always having a paycheck, always having a pretty much certain routine or this or that, and you can plan that you're going to fill up your days, which I do things that I want to do and like that, but you just, what surprised me, because I have always been responsible, I consider myself intelligent. I had jobs that required me to be responsible, intelligent, driven, and all of this. And I always thought I was forward thinking, that I would think things out, worst case, best case, this or that, and then I know what I was going to be dealing with. But nothing prepared me for the, when you're retired, for how really, really different it is. Not bad, It's very, very good. It's great, in fact. But it's just for the emotional and intellectual little ride you're going to be on as you become aware of all these differences and that you have to face them and then what they do to your behaviors. And then until finally it's taken me, well, I've been retired 11 months and I'm just now getting to the point where I know that I use that money and it's okay. It's what it was there for. And so I feel free and happy when I go to the mall or I do this or I plan a trip, as opposed to paranoid and wanting to find some way to make it before. It's just sort of a journey that you have to take to figure this out. And I wasn't prepared for that when I retired. I thought I had it all planned.
But you know, it's great. And we can't do that sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
You just said something so powerful. You said it's the journey. And this is your retirement journey. And the story of ongoing, what you're experiencing, and the fact that you just threw yourself into it. You know, it sounds like you threw yourself into it and you're very excited about it. And like you said, there's some really good stuff. And there's a part in here, it's on your, how important that is to have. And then the fact that you're taking all these classes and things. And so it sounds like when you're mentioning that those are things that you've always wanted to do. And maybe you didn't have quite as much time before because a big portion of your time was devoted to the career and taking care of the people that work there and all of that part. So the freeing up of time, which is now you can focus almost totally on yourself.
Yes, and if you've always worked and thought of others and been responsible for others, suddenly just being able to focus on yourself and do that for me, it makes you feel, I don't know if I'm really 100% comfortable with it yet. I mean, I'm getting there, ask anybody who knows me, but I'm getting there, and it's also, you know, I've been reflecting on that when I was working all those 56 years and doing all of that was goal-oriented, like I'm going to achieve this, I'm going to do this for my family, I'm going to get this position, I'm going to make this money, I get my kids through college, get them married, do this, do that. Everything at work was a goal, and at home I had goals, and they were, for the most part, geared towards others. And now that I've retired, even and I don't know if I call them goals because I think of them now instead of goals since I'm not working as things I wanted to do and things I wanted to accomplish. So I've gone from a goal-oriented person for, you know, my whole life up until the last few months. I'm realizing that now I'm going to call it my final journey because it could last however long, 30 years, 20 years, whatever. And it's okay just to enjoy the journey, look at all the paths that are open to you and or to me, really, and just really go for it. And it's okay. It's really okay to just have your journey and have it be whatever it is you want it to be or whatever avenue opens up for you. And I can accept that. And I had a little problem accepting that it's okay just to be on my own journey for me, as opposed to my goals to accomplish, to support everything else. And that's another thing that all my planning and reading did not prepare me for. It's something I've kind of gone through this last 11 months. And just an awakening I think I've had or an understanding of what it means to have this, to be what I feel is very, very lucky to have this opportunity that I can now live this journey after all those years of working. I feel lucky and fortunate and blessed. And I'm not feeling guilty about having all of that anymore. I feel happy and blessed to have it.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
And it sounds like you're making the most of it, and it's interesting that you keep alluding to, I had all these, I planned for it, I studied up on it, I prepared myself for it, and then once I got into it, it's like, huh, wasn't expecting that to happen, and it almost like as you were encountering it, it's like, now that's an interesting dynamic that I didn't take into consideration beforehand. And so part of it is, I'm taking from what you're saying and wanting to share this with readers who are perhaps getting ready to go, or maybe they're in their first year of retirement, and they might be experiencing some of these things, is that staying open in the moment to and the fun of discovering the little coinkydink kind of things that are going to happen that you can't prepare for because you have to experience them first. So it sounds like you prepared for the experience, and then when you started to experience it, here's some little surprise things that came up. Not derailers, just interesting things that came up from you. You mentioned something else, too, as you were talking, that I just want to touch base on really quickly, and while we still have a little bit of time left on the call, and that was the, I'm going to call it contribution you still want to make. When I think of, and I have a lot of clients in this, and high-powered, career-driven, executive people who, and you didn't mention a husband, so I'm going to just toss it out there, single, who are, gosh, they're go-getters, you know, and they're go, go, go. So they're really looking forward to the retirement side because now they're it's what they want to do, what they choose to do. So there's a lot of the I don't have to thrown in there, which is so appealing. But once they get into it, there is that little piece in it. And I love all the things I'm doing for myself and learning how to play an instrument and traveling and doing all those fun things, but there's still something a little bit missing. And they describe it as, I feel like I still have more to give, and so I like the fact that I'm getting to enjoy these things and I'm getting to increase that part of my life, but there's still a little part missing, and sometimes it takes a little doing to figure out what is the contribution you want to make now. And when you were talking about this being a journey, it's like, so their next phase in here is actually that journey of what do you want this to be? And I think sometimes people have a vision of retirement, but they don't flesh it out enough to really get clear on what are the things you want to have, because and part of it is because you don't know until you do it. But the second part is, if you're the kind of person that you're a go, go, go all the time, going to dead stop probably isn't going to work, because if your whole life has been about contribution in a bigger sense and activity and creation and, like you said, goal setting, reasonably the next phase is, okay, so how do I transition over into different kinds of contributions? So it's not so much achieving a goal, but you still have all those great talents. You still have all those things that you use this whole time in your career. And what a shame if they just go to waste. And it almost feels like for you, you're... Go ahead.
Go ahead and finish, yeah.
No, go ahead. We're good.
Yeah, it does feel like for me. But I think when I've come to realize it's more of, I recognize how fortunate and lucky I am, and I don't know, being raised as I was or just who I am, or it could be because I'm single, it could be any number of things, but I think lots of people feel that way. I just want to give something back, something of me, or somehow contribute some of my time or my efforts as a way of giving something back to society for being so lucky as to be in this position where I can pretty much do what I want to do. And right now, to do that for me, I have to fight my own demons, because I just love doing, like, taking my classes and doing my things on my time. But I do want to give something back. I feel it's important that I do. And that's what I'm trying to work through. And you were absolutely right. I don't think anybody, this is, I think, why I called in, but you can plan for all these things. You can plan your retirement to the nth degree. But until you're living it and see how different it really is from what you're planning and vision and everything was. And you just don't know what you're going to, how you're going to act or react and what you want to do. And you're exactly right. Be on your feet. Be nimble. Be open to embrace it and move ahead, because it's all good. It's, you know, and you just want to continue to be happy with it.
That sounds great.
Well, I think I've taken enough
there's...
of your time.
No, it's so wonderful that you wanted to share that and that you made the connection there. And like I said before, I'm sure that lots of people will resonate with this and connect with it, because it's such an important topic and one of the things that we wanted to cover, you know, on the show. If any of the listeners are looking for a little more help and perhaps some ideas and things on how to either prepare for career transition or to prepare for retirement, feel free to reach out to me at Susan@makeityourmark.com, and I'll be happy to send you some resources and some tips on that as well. And in the meantime, for our caller right now who is still seeking to make that contribution, one of the things that you can try, if you like, it sounds like you are a go-getter and can figure these things out for yourself, but it's the non-negotiables are, I want to have my time this way because I'm so happy with that and that's fulfilling for me. And then now, kind of taking the question that I offered to the first caller, which is, what are your superpowers? What are the things that come so easy to you that other people just marveled at? And figuring out your way of how do you share that kind of contribution to the world or to others and still keep your time as yours, so that those talents and strengths that you have that are innate to you and tied to your purpose could go out and help other people as well. You sound like a super confident person. You sound like someone who knows how to plan and strategize. And you also sound like you're really connected to the moment of when you're in things. Like you said, look, I'm working on this myself and figuring out that I can take this money and spend it and not feel too guilty about it. So those kinds of things I think are invaluable when we look at what makes each person special and what gives them that special talent for moving forward in life and other things. And so maybe trying some little part of that to help you as you go into the next phase for what you want to do. I thank you so much for joining us on the call and sharing your experience with us. And to both of my callers today, thank you so much, and to everyone else listening. Again, this is Susan Gonzalez. If you want to know more about what I do or you want to get information on attending one of my live Make It Your Mark events, please go to my website, www.makeityourmark.com, and feel free to reach out to me, Susan@makeityourmark.com. And you can also find information about my book on Amazon. Make sure you're looking out for November 25th with Jan Jaffe. She has another Think Tank show coming on. And on December 6th, mark my words, with Mark Shaw will be his show. Thank you so much for joining us today, and I hope you guys all have a great week.